Hello and welcome to the Three Pillars of D&D cast. I'm Jesse.
I'm Emma.
And I, Tyler. I remember
there
when
you
I used
go.
to have like fun things to say, but now I'm just Tyler.
You're just old and
Oh, you're
boring
lame.
now.
I'm part of the capitalistic machine.
Yes. All right. So in this episode, we're going to be discussing the sorcerer class and just basically going through that.
Let's get started.
So, the sorcerer. Golden eyes flashing, a human stretches out her hand and unleashes the dragon fire that burns in her veins. As an inferno rages around her foes, leathery wings spread from her back and she takes to the air. Long hair whipped by a conjured wind, a half-elf spreads his arms wide and throws his head back, lifting him momentarily off the ground. A wave of magic surges up in him, though through him and out from him in a mighty blast of lightning. So, yeah, so that's the general idea behind the sorcerer, right?
Got lazy.
Yeah, I did. There are magic users who are born with exotic or foreign blood in them in some way that gives them natural magic power. The whole idea is that it's kind of a raw magic idea. So
raw magic. Magic is a part of every sorcerer, suffusing body, mind, and spirit with a latent power that wants to be tapped. Some sorcerers wield magic that springs from an ancient bloodline infused with the magic of dragons. Others carry a raw, uncontrolled magic within them, a chaotic storm that manifests in unexpected ways. Sorcerers have no use for spellbooks and ancient tomes of magic lore that wizards rely on, nor do they rely on a Patreon to grant their spells as warlocks do. By learning to harness and channel their own inborn magic, they can discover new and staggering ways to unleash that power.
Unexplained powers. Sorcerers are rare in the world, and it's unusual to find a sorcerer who's not involved in the adventure life in some way. People with magical powers seething in their veins soon discover that the powers within them like to stay quiet. A sorcerer's magic wants to be wielded, has a tendency to spill out in unpredictable ways if it isn't called on. Sorcerers often have obscure or quixotic motivations driving them to adventure. Some seek a greater understanding of the magical force that infuses them, or the answer to the mystery of its origin. Others hope to find a way to get rid of it or unleash its full potential. Whatever the goals, sorcerers are every bit as useful to an adventuring party as wizards, making for a comparative lack of grasping their magical knowledge with enormous flexibility and using the spells they know.
So that's a good way of summing up what sorcerers are different than wizards. They have a natural inborn power, and they sacrifice knowing all the spells essentially for being a little bit better at casting the ones they do have. All right, as a sorcerer, you gain the following class features. Hit points. You have a 1d6 hit die. Your proficiencies are, you have no armor proficiencies. You have daggers, darts, slings, quarterstaffs, light crossbows for weapons. No tools. Constitution and charisma saving throws. And you get to choose two skills from arcana, deception, insight, intimidation, persuasion, and religion. When you look at the proficiencies, obviously they're not a heavy combat focus. They got enough to survive, but they're not meant to be your frontliners, as should be obvious, as most full casters. With their skills, you can choose from, you know, it's mostly magic. It's like history, intelligence, and charisma based kind of abilities overall. Like, there's an expectation when it comes to wizards that that they should know things like arcana and religion and things like that. You can actually run a sorcerer like dump stat on intelligence. They don't have to be smart. They don't have to be wise either. They just have to be charismatic. And that's the major stat that matters for them. You're going to see probably more people using intimidation or persuasion and deception when they make sorcerers than insight, arcana, and religion as much, right? And talking their way through a problem or lying their way or, you know, even trying to scare people are going to be your better go-to when it comes to sorcerer for outside of combat kind of functions. Nothing really that helps them with exploration, though, huh?
No.
Nothing
at all.
Tyler, do you want to go ahead and sum up spellcasting for sorcerers is, like, explain the whole ones they know and what they can spell.
Okay, so basically how sorcerers work is they get a lot more spell slots than spells known. So sorcerers start with two spells known, and they get a spell, and they get to know one more spell every single level until level 11, in which it turns to every other level they get a new spell to learn. And then at level 17, they just stop learning spells. Now spell select, on the other hand, progress like any other spellcaster, any other full caster, you know, the typical table.
Oh, okay. So what do you end up having by the end? The six is you have six cantrips, you're going to have 15 spells known, and you're going to be able to cast 4, 3, 3, 3, 3, 2, 2, and 1 by the end. So you're still, that's what every wizard, right, that's what wizard has at the end for spell slots. But you're going to have more.
With your spell points, you can regain spell slot.
Do you have more cantrips as a sorcerer than you do as a wizard?
You get more to start out, but I think you end with the same. Sorcerers are basically just like the wizard, but they get one more. You know, they gain another cantrip when the wizard does, but they start with 4 instead of 3. So they end with 6 instead of 5.
Oh, okay. So they'd end up with one extra one then. That's supposed to kind of give them a little, because they're going to be using cantrips a lot, because that's mostly what they do.
Sorcerer's Origin. Choose a sorcerer's origin which describes the source of your innate magical power. Draconic bloodline, detailed at the end of the class description, or one from another source. So basically, you don't get anything else for a sorcerer other than draconic bloodline until you get another book. Which sucks, but meh.
I think I actually thought wild magic was in there in the player's handbook.
No, it's in something else.
No, wild magic is in the player's handbook. Basically, this is the rules and the basic rules.
Yeah, the basic rules just has the draconic bloodline.
Oh yeah, this is basic rules.
And Tasha's Cauldron everything. There's some new spells added to sorcerer spell list. So the cantrips that are added are Gooing Blade, Green Flame Blade, Lightning Lure, Mind Sliver, and Sword Burst. The first level spells that were added were Grease, Tasha's Caustic Brew. The second level spells were Flame Blade, Flaming Spear, Magic Weapon, and Tasha's Mind Whip. The third level spells were Intellect Fortress and Vampire Touch. The fourth level spells were Fire Shield. The fifth level spells were Bigby's Hand. Sixth level spells were Flesh of Stone, Otoluk's Freezing Spear, and Tasha's Otherworldly Guise. Seventh level, it was Dream of the Blue Veil. Eighth level, we got Demiplane. At ninth level, we got Blade Disaster.
So the big thing on these is they're added to the list of spells you can choose from when you go up levels. They're not added known spells. Just to clarify on that. Font of Magic. At second level, you tap into a deep wellspring of magic within yourself. This wellspring is represented by sorcery points, which allow you to create a variety of magical effects.
I already hate that it's called Font. I have to say, I don't like that.
Love that part. I think Font of Magic is awesome. I'm not even saying this to be like, oh yes, it's funny to piss off Emma. I just love Font of Magic.
I actually like Font of Magic too, but...
I don't. I think it's stupid. It's like, you should be doing something else if you're going to do Font of Magic.
Alright, so you start off with 2 sorcery points and you gain more as you reach higher levels. Basically, you get a point in every level. I wish they'd just say that. You can never have more sorcery points than shown on the table for your level. You regain all spent sorcery points when you finish a long rest. Flexible casting. You can use your sorcery points to gain additional spell slots or sacrifice spell slots to gain additional sorcery points. You learn other ways to use your sorcery points as you reach higher level. Creating spell slots. You can transform unexpended sorcery points into one spell slot as a bonus action on your turn. The creating spell slots table shows the cost of creating a spell slot of a given level. You can create spell slots no higher in level than 5th. Any spell slot you create with this feature vanishes when you finish a long rest. I'll just kind of go through it here. Spell for a first level spell slot is 2, for second it's 3, third is 5, fourth is 6, and fifth is 7.
By the way, it's on the exact same cost for spell if you use spell point casting.
There you go.
I thought that was interesting.
And then you can converting a spell slot to a sorcery points. As a bonus action on your turn, you can expend one spell slot and gain a number of sorcery points equal to the slot's level. When you convert from spell to sorcery points, it's not an even exchange. You're kind of basically losing something each time.
Yeah.
So only do this if you really need another spell slot, and only convert a spell slot to sorcery points if you really need sorcery points for some reason.
Although a high level sorcerer would probably value sorcery points over like a spell slot.
You would think so. All right, so we are going to talk about meta magic after the break, and we're going to go to the break.
Break time.
T Today's episode is supported by Realms of Peril and Glory, an all-new actual play podcast. Season 1 Veil is an epic mystery thriller set in New Harbor, a city of magic, monsters, and machines. The cast is wonderful, and it uses the 13th Age game system. They release a new episode every Wednesday. I have listened to many episodes, and I listen to it every week because I am actually a genuine fan of this podcast, so I really suggest you go out and listen to it yourself. You can find and listen to Realms of Peril and Glory anywhere you listen to podcasts. Our thanks to Realms of Peril and Glory for their support. Also, if you use our special link, www.lightandtragic.com/pillars, you'll let them know that we sent you there. Here's a small sample of their show.
Welcome to Realms of Peril and Glory, an all-new actual play podcast.
There are guided tours once a week. Come on, Dark Brennan.
How about you, you filthy timepiece?
RPG is home to hilarious stories.
The thing that kicks off a really good tale is
when they take their tops off.
Sorry?
When you're reading, like, don't worry.
And thrilling adventures.
There's bad guys, there's an ogre. Probably best if you stay here. Sorry, I'll be back soon.
Why am I tied up?
That was your sibling, not me. Bye.
Each season is an all-new actual play story told collaboratively at the table, featuring guest players from the Magnus Archives.
I remember being in the water, and that was awful, and now I'm not in the water, and that's much better.
Wooden overcoats.
I am a snowman. I have one job, and that is to stand in place. I was doing that very well.
Yes, and she might come back 9 times more powerful with lots of food and kippers.
We fix space junk.
On the surface, you might look different, but you're very, very similar inside. And I can vouch for that.
And more.
What I am about to tell you stays in this room. Got it?
Don't happen to know where there's, like, secret plans about meat and smoothies.
Ducks! Did you say ducks? Did you say duck?
You can find Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're gonna have a good laugh, then we're gonna possibly cry, and then we'll grab dinner.
Welcome to the sellout break, where we try to plug our stuff, but we don't actually have any stuff. So,
my 54-foot plush copy of Jesse.
At nowhere.
Do you want the creepiest stuffed animal you'll ever meet? You can get Emma on a stick.
I don't like you anymore.
So, if you want to get a hold of us on, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at Our Dorky. Email us at ourdorkyfamily@gmail.com. If you're watching this on YouTube, we have a podcast. And if you're listening to us on podcasts, we have a YouTube. Well, we're on almost all the podcasts. If we're not on a podcast thing, get a hold of us and we'll see about getting on that podcast format for you.
Yeah, we'll infiltrate everywhere like a disease.
Exactly.
Well, so very much like a disease. She is never leaves.
Alrighty. D&D Beyond. Alright, let's get back to the show.
Meta magic. At third level, you gain the ability to twist your spells and suit your needs. You gain 2 of the following meta magic options of your choices. You gain another one at 10th and 17th level. You can only use 1 meta magic option on a spell when you cast it, unless otherwise noted.
Careful spell. When you cast a spell that forces other creatures to make a saving throw, you can protect some of those creatures from the spell's full force. To do so, you spend 1 sorcery point and choose any number of creatures up to your charisma modifier, minimum of 1 creature. A chosen creature automatically succeeds on saving throw against a spell.
So basically, this is how to use a fireball and not kill everybody.
It's still a good chunk of damage.
Yeah, it
just
is.
Just use lightning bolt, dude.
Yeah, I know, but there's other uses for this. But basically, if you have to throw a spell in the middle of your allies, this is the meta magic you want to use to try to mitigate that a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Distant spell. When you cast a spell that has a range of 5 feet or greater, you can spend 1 sorcery point to double the range of the spell. When you cast a spell that has a range of touch, you can spend 1 sorcery point to make the range of the spell 30 feet. I think this is actually a really nifty one. There's a lot of spells that have a touch feature that I think are not as good because they have a touch feature, and adding that 30 feet can really make a big difference with them. And doubling the range of, like, really long distance spells, like, say, Firebolt or Eldritch Blast, for example, lets you get things from really far away. And I think this one's kind of cool.
I think it's really fun to just, like, figure out what the longest range you can cast Eldritch Blast is in D&D Beyond. And Distant Spell, oh, with that new sorcerer feat, just made it onto that build. Now I can cast Eldritch Blast 1,200 feet away.
If you're keeping track, that's 4 football fields.
Wait, oh, God. 4 football fields?
That's 4 football fields, yes.
Empowered Spell. A new world damage for a spell, you can spend one sorcery point to reroll a number of the damage dice up to your charisma modifier, minimum of 1. You must use the new rolls. You could use Empowered Spell even if you already use a different metamagic option during the casting of the spell. I think that's pretty cool.
Oh yeah, it's a really good one, especially since you can combine it with other ones.
Oh yeah.
It's one of the ones that most people highly recommend. I can't say that they're wrong.
Extended Spell. When you cast a spell that has a duration of 1 minute or longer, you can spend one sorcery point to double its duration to a maximum duration of 24 hours.
There you go. I've looked for spells that I want to extend. I haven't found very many of them. I'm sure they exist. I just don't think I've had the right... I never played a sorcerer in a game, so I really haven't got a chance to experiment with these as much as I really want to. I think if you were like... If you were, say, had dark vision on, you're going to be underground for a very long time. It might be worth doubling the duration on that. I'd be real hesitant to use a sorcery point on anything that had a concentration for duration.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, what happens if you get, you know, beamed in the head or something and you lose concentration, you lost a sorcery point, you don't really get to double the duration anymore. I mean,
it's going to be sad.
Yeah. So I think this definitely has its places, but I'm not sure where. Heightened Spell. When you cast a spell that forces a creature to make a saving throw to resist its effects, you can spend 3 sorcery points to give one target of the spell disadvantage on its first saving throw made against the spell. Alright, so this is if you really want a spell to hit, essentially. If it's like that important, 3 sorcery points is a heck of an investment, though. I mean, you can't even do this until level 3 when you get it, I suppose, but you're only able to do it once. I mean, that's a big commitment, but I do think there's going to be times when you're going to want to use this particular metamagic.
Oh, yeah.
Quicken Spell. When you cast a spell, it's a casting time of 1 action. You can spend 2 sorcery points to use the casting time to 1 bonus action for this casting. Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of spells I could think of that I'd want to cast as a bonus action. Yeah, because of the rules on spell casting, you could do a cantrip that has an action casting cost, and then you could cast a leveled spell that has a bonus action for casting cost, for casting time, using this metamagic in order to pop 2 spells off in a row, right? That's how you can do it, because you can't cast 2 leveled spells. You can do a cantrip and a leveled spell, correct?
Yeah.
Settle Spell. When you cast a spell, you can spend 1 sorcery point to cast it without any somatic or verbal components. I really like this one. I think in, especially in a political intrigue kind of situation, if you're trying to get some really sneaky spells off while you're debating somebody in front of a crowd or up on stage doing a performance or something like that.
I don't know about you, but I feel like this is the perfect spell to cast when the villain starts monologuing.
Yes, yes, for sure. Yeah, I was like,
this is the spell Harry casts whenever Doofenshmirtz just starts talking about his evil backstory.
Exactly. I could, I thought of that. That's a good one. when the bad guy is doing his monologue, yeah, you use Settle Spell on a summoning, like summon elemental or whatever, and let them monologue. Get yourself that 1 minute you need to summon something or whatever. I think that would be great.
What's some good spells that take some time to cast? Let's see. Sorcerer. I'm committed in this now.
Yeah, okay, you
know, now I need to know what the best monologuing spells would be.
Yeah, I suppose we can take a second here. Oh, actually, I should just look at sorcerer spells, huh?
Yeah. Really, there's actually not much.
Since other classes could technically take this ability, because it only costs 1, you could take this with the feat, too.
Yeah, I decided to just go with 1-minute spells, because the villain's monologuing for 10 minutes, they're crazy.
Yeah, let's see here, do we have any good 1-minute spells?
Yeah, you can conjure, like, Fae, Elemental, and Celestials.
Well, there you go.
Conjure Celestial, conjure Elemental, conjure Fae. conjure my inner elemental, fox familiar.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's a lot of spells that would be worth doing in your subtle spell. I mean, flock of familiars could be fun if you're trying to do that stage magician thing and you want doves to fly out of your sleeves.
Or you could just like summon Magnificent Mansion. The villain starts monologuing, all of a sudden just a giant mansion appears.
I'll kill them Wicked the Witch style. Drop a house on them. all right.
Wind spell. When you cast a spell that targets only one creature and doesn't have a range of self, you can spend a number of sorcery points equal to the self's level to target a second creature in range with that same spell. One sorcery point if the spell is a cantrip. To be eligible, a spell must be incapable of targeting more than one creature at the spell's current level. For example, Magic Missile and Scorching Ray aren't eligible, but Ray of Frost and Chromatic Orb are. Ha!
There you go. Haste is a good one. There's a lot of good spells you can twin if you really put your mind to it. They're not always easy to find, but if you really go the extra mile, if you're gonna take this particular meta magic, then try to focus on spells that you can really use for that. In Tasha's, they added a couple more meta magic options. Seeking spell. If you make an attack roll for a spell and miss, you can spend 2 sorcery points to reroll the d20, and you must use a new roll. You can use Seeking Spell even if you've already used a different meta magic option during the casting of the spell.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I like that
and,
one.
After that, there's a transmuted spell. When you cast a spell that deals a type of damage from the following thing list, you can spend 1 sorcery point to change that damage type to one of the other listed types: acid, cold, fire, lightning, poison, thunder.
So I like this particular meta magic because it really lets you like just pick the spells you kind of want, like say per se, like just think are have the best utility or are going to work for you the best. But you don't have to worry about trying to spread yourself out to all these different damage types in case you come up across a bunch of enemies that are immune to the things you usually use.
Yeah, I actually think transmute spell is the best meta magic a sorcerer can take because it's just how few spells they learn.
Yeah, and I think like say you wanted to really specialize in say fire spells because there's a lot of them. You could specialize in that, and then transmuted spell would give you that option of not making you totally useless against something that has resistance or immunity to fire.
Yeah.
You could just mix it up to something else. And I think it would be really fun for cinematic purposes to describe how the spell changes as it comes out of you. I just think it could be really cool. Like, it starts off as a fireball and then it turns to ice as it flies through the air and then hits them. Or, you know, changes from ice to poison or something like that. I think that could be a lot of fun to describe that process, you know?
Yeah. Also, when I was reading up the list, a part of me really wanted to say air at the end.
So level 4, you get ability score improvement or feat, just like most classes do.
What do you mean most classes? All classes get ability score improvement.
All right, all classes, you're right.
Yeah,
sorcerer's versatility. Tasha's spell, by the way, is a 4th level sorcerer's feature. Whenever you reach a level in this class that grants the ability score improvement feature, you can always do one of the following, representing the magic within you flowing in new ways. Replace one of the options you chose from the meta magic feature with a different meta magic option available for you. Replace one cantrip you learned from this class's spellcasting feature with another cantrip from the sorcerer spell list. I think those are really good. I think that's kind of unique and makes it so, like, if your character changes a lot, you can change your character spells.
I like that you can, you can swap out your cantrips at later levels. It's really useful because sometimes something is useful early on and maybe you just haven't used it in 3 levels or 4 levels and you're like, maybe I need something different, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Early on, attack cantrips are like necessary, but later on they become less necessary.
I mean, I think they get better as they go up. But yeah, maybe yeah, some of them
they
are.
They do, but it's better to just like cast a level spell because you just have so many spell slots.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you decide that, hey, maybe I do need to have message or mending or...
Yeah.
I don't actually know if those are sorcerer ones, but you know what I mean.
I think they are.
Minor illusion feels like it'd be something really good at low levels, but as you get higher up, you're going to want to just cast the actual illusion spells to do things. They're going to have a little more impact. This is also another Tasha feature. You get at 5th level. It's called Magical Guidance. You can tap into your inner wellspring of magic to try to conjure success from failure. When you make an ability check that fails, you can spend one sorcery point to reroll the d20, and you must use the new roll, potentially turning the failure into a success. I really like this one, in particular when it comes to skills outside of combat. It gives you a way when you're doing those really important negotiations and you screw up your persuasion check badly, that you can reroll it by spending a sorcery point. That just gives the sorcerers just this one more extra edge in life in general. A little bit of magicalness to them. But you can go, let me rewind that. Instead of calling you a pig dog, I can call you an emperor god. Okay. That would be better. I think that's really good. And then...
Oh, yeah.
So we go all the way from 5th level to 20th level. At 20th level, you get Sorceress Restoration. So once you get Sorceress Restoration, you gain 4 expended sorcery points whenever you finish a short rest. Kind of underwhelming.
Okay.
Yeah, not the best capstone ability.
It's
not like druids where they get to cast spells.
That druid one is crazy.
Well, yeah, cast spells while you're in your beast form and stuff. Or it's like unlimited spells or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Unlimited wild shape. You don't get unlimited spells.
Oh, that's what it is. Unlimited wild shape and you can cast your spells. Yeah, there's just something a little more... It's pretty cool. I mean, granted, 1 hour of rest so you can get 4 sorcery points back is nice, but it's not...
I just spend the spell slot, you know?
Well, if you don't have any spell slots, I mean, it can be important.
But...
Well,
you don't have any spell slots, you should probably just take a long rest.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure it's going to be used when you're at level 20, but I just don't feel like it makes the impact it should. Obviously, so there's not a whole lot of features, really, when you look at it for a sorcerer overall. Kind of like the druid in the same way.
Like all spellcasters, really, except for bard and cleric.
That's a significant percentage of spellcasters.
Actually, no, that's just your subclass. Never mind. Yeah, no, none of them really get... abilities, mid-levels.
Yeah, their subclasses are where you're going to get a lot of the meat of what you're doing. Which we'll discuss next time when we go over...
We'll discover the subclasses of the sorcerer.
Are you, like, on Discovery Channel or something now?
You
like,
and me,
God.
Baby, ain't nothing but mammals. Do it what? Like they do on the Discovery Channel.
I'm leaving!
I'll come back. Let us wrap it up.
I'm leaving on a spaceship to Mars.
All right. So there's obviously not a lot of abilities you get as a sorcerer. Most of them are going to come from your subclass, especially between levels 5 and 20. Oh, yeah. Look for them there. We're going to go over the subclasses next week, at least 3 of them. So wait for us there. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello, that's you.
Goodbye.
All right.
You always said that. That ain't something new, okay?
All right, I'll suffocate you in the middle of the night.
You're getting there, getting there.
I'll lick your eyeballs. All right, now move on.
You creep me out. Suffusing, 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 suffusing.
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 What is wrong with you? What is the act?
Suffusing all over my body.
You creep me out. We should throw him into, like, a murder game and watch him die.
All right.
Hey!
I'll splice that around so it looks like I let you finish.
Just don't get my finger guns in there. They look stupid.